That's a beautiful love song. Song of friendship. This morning I'm glad that I have friends. I'm glad I have a particular friend named Marty Reimer. She called me about 40 minutes ago and said, "Dave, do you remember the time change? I'm sitting at my computer in my pajamas." So I'm glad, Marty, thank you for reminding me of the time change. It was going to be pretty embarrassing arriving here an hour late as the pastor. Anyway, the song we just sang is indeed a love song. Kind of like wedding vows, actually. "My Jesus, my dearest friend, I'll stay with you to the very end." But like many a marriage, vows go off tracks. I don't know anybody who gets married and plans to get divorced. I don't know anybody who looks into their lover's eyes on that wedding day and says, "I promise to love you with all my heart's affection, in good or bad, for rich or poor, for better or for worse." And nobody plans on having that relationship wipe out. And yet many times, our relationship as Christians resembles a marriage gone bad. Have you ever experienced spiritual isolation? Have you ever felt lonely? Perhaps you felt abandoned by God, forgotten, overlooked, hidden, unknown. I know we've all experienced those things at different times in our lives. But when those feelings and emotions team up together, if they're not dealt with appropriately, we can be heading for a life collapse. Most of us, like I said, will experience those every so often. For some, they are a daily diet of pain. Today, we are going to see from the Scripture how an awareness of God's abiding presence can significantly impact our lives. Last week, we studied the name Yeshua. God saves, or God is the Savior. And we realized that people who recognized Him that way called Him what? They will call Him Emmanuel, because God is with us. You can't encounter Jehovah Yahshua without realizing God is with you. Well, today we're going to carry on that theme by examining the name Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. But before we do, will you please pray with me? Father, thank you for this gorgeous Friday morning. We hear the birds singing. We're glad to be alive. We're glad to be here on time, at least some of us. We're just thrilled to be able to be in your presence, enjoy you, and to hear from you. We ask that as we examine your word now, that you would speak again to our hearts by your Spirit and minister as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. In case you hadn't noticed, Jerusalem was in the news again this week. It seems to be always in the news. There's always something happening around Jerusalem, more trouble. Seems like there's always a battle going on for that city. Through the prophets, however, God has repeatedly told us that Jerusalem will someday be the city of peace that its name actually implies or signifies. Today, we're coming to a passage in Ezekiel that tells us why Jerusalem will indeed be the city of peace. In Ezekiel 48:35, we read, "The name of the city from that time on," meaning from the time when Christ comes to reside in it and His second coming, "the name of the city from that time on will be Jehovah Shammah," or "the Lord is there." A little history lesson here. Ezekiel was one of the prophets God had sent to Israel during their exile in Babylon about 600 years B.C. The temple of Jerusalem had been destroyed, the city was sacked, and the country had been raped. Gone were the glory days of political and religious freedom, economic prosperity, and festive celebration. Gone were the days of that wonderful communion with God. All of that was just a memory. Now they were refugees in a foreign land. They were feeling abandoned. They were feeling cast away. They felt like God was a million miles away. Now, if you've ever experienced that or felt that, then today you can plug right into the story. Ezekiel reminded the Jews in his prophecies that all of this was a result of their sin and rebellion against God. God was calling them back to repentance. But he also prophesied their return and restoration to their homeland. He also saw far ahead to the day of Messiah's second return, when he would establish his eternal kingdom on earth. In the last chapter, after describing in detail the holy city from which Messiah would rule, he gives us this most wonderful distinguishing feature of that city. And I quote again, "The name of the city from that time on will be Jehovah Shammah." It will not be Jerusalem. It will be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Now, this is the only place in all of Scripture where this name appears, only once. But the truth of this name is revealed throughout all of the Scriptures. What is that truth? You may want to write this down. The truth that we discover from this name is simply this: the boundaries and the blessings of the kingdom of God are directly related to the experienced presence of God. I'll say that again so you can write it down. The boundaries and the blessings of the kingdom of God are directly related to the experienced presence of God. Now please note, I said to the experienced presence of God. And we will notice the difference this morning. If you are experiencing God's presence, dear friends, then you will be experiencing the blessings of God's kingdom. You will be. God's kingdom is where He rules. And if He is ruling in your life and in your heart, you will enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. But the reverse is also true. If we are not experiencing the blessings of God's presence, we will not be experiencing the blessings of His kingdom. That makes sense, doesn't it? I want to share with you five important facts about this truth about God's presence, God being there. Now, admittedly, this passage specifically refers to the city when Christ returns. But I want to broaden it out through Scripture this morning and see five very important principles. I've left blanks in your bulletin. You may want to fill them in so you can follow along with me. The first fact is that God is present at all times, everywhere. The theological term for this is omnipresence, which means He is everywhere present. Now, you remember the story of Jonah? Jonah thought he could actually run away from God. God called him to go east to Nineveh. What does Jonah do? He heads west for the coast, gets a boat headed for Spain. Opposite direction, thinking, I'll get away from God. Have you ever found yourself doing the same thing? God asks you to do one thing, and you're running the other direction? Inside our head, way at the back somewhere, we have this twisted idea that we can kind of get away from Him. How foolish. It reminds me of the child who puts his hand over his eyes and says, "You can't see me." We figure because we can't see the other person, they can't see us. And that's how sometimes we think about God. Let's face it, in our circumstances, sometimes we can't always see God. And so we assume He can't see us. If you remember David's words in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." The Apostle Paul reminds us in Acts 17, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." It's like the air you breathe. Where can you go and be away from air? If you are, you're dead. You can't get away from the presence of God. You can't. He is everywhere present. God is here. But He's also at your house, even though you're not there. He's at the office. He's at your school. He's in the coffee shops in the political capitals of the world. He's in Toronto and Taipei and Tehran and Timbuktu, all at the same time. He's under the sea when we snorkel. He's in the air when we fly. He's in every church. He's in every bar. He's in every brothel. Do you hear it, friends? There is no place where God is not present. Everywhere He is Jehovah Shammah. But that's not the specific meaning of the name mentioned here. Because it's possible to know this about God. It's possible to write an exam on it and get 100% and still not experience His presence. Fact number two. God is intensely present to certain people at certain times in certain places. You go back and read the Old Testament, you see this over and over again. To Moses and the Israelites, He appears in the cloud and fire. He appeared in Shekinah glory in the tabernacle, and then later in the Holy of Holies in the temple. He was with Joshua, Gideon, and Elijah in powerful ways in battle. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. He was with the psalmist in the valley of the shadow of death. To all these and more, He was Jehovah Shammah. Whenever they encountered the presence of God, they experienced the bounty of the kingdom of God. Do you see those two connected? Whenever they experienced the presence of God, they enjoyed the bounty of the kingdom of God. But the opposite is also true. There were times when God's glory departed, when God seemed distant. It was not that God was no longer there, but that He appeared to be no longer there. Remember that. The first point is, God is at all times everywhere present. So if that is true, then the corollary is, of course, that He cannot be not there. Or He... Did I say that right? He can't be not there. Which makes it a positive. That's right. But let's face it, there are times in life when His sensed or felt presence is missing. Have you been there? When you just don't feel like God is around. Now in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to all of God's people for all the time. It's not like the special anointings or enablings that happened in the Old Testament. God's Holy Spirit is available to all. But the pattern we see is similar. There have been powerful anointings of the Holy Spirit through the last 200 or 2,000 years. Revivals break out. You've read about some of them. Perhaps some of you have experienced those times in your life when God is so alive, He is so real, He's almost fluid all around you. Powerful outpourings of the Spirit of God. I was in a revival in Saskatchewan back in the early 70s. It took our city by storm. It was so awesome to watch God just move. People coming to Christ every night. People getting their life right with Christ. People, Christians who have been in sin, making restitution, going to the stores and giving back things that they had stolen, paying bad debts they owed, going to the government, paying off former income tax. The government, it is written up in the newspapers, what's happening to our city? When God moves, there's a powerful anointing when the Spirit of God is free to move. There are times like that. But there are other times. There are times that have been coined, the phrase has been coined, the dark night of the soul. Times when you feel like, God, where are you? All is black. Nothing makes sense. I cry out to you, but my prayer seems to hit the ceiling. Where are you? Dear friends, when you get to the place where God's presence is no longer felt, do not despair, because God is still there. He's still there. I love the story about Richard Sims. He had just finished his military assignment. He'd come back, got off the boat, he was hitchhiking home. The day was May 7th, he'll never forget it. He was standing on the side of the road with his thumb out and a black, sleek, new Cadillac pulled over. He thought, whoa, scoring big, getting a nice car. Passenger door opened, he threw his backpack in the back seat and hopped in. thank the well-dressed man who was driving, and close the door. Seeing his military uniform, the man asked if he was going home for keeps. "Sure am," Roger responded. "Well, you're in luck. If you're going on to Chicago, that's where I'm going." "Well," Roger said, "I'm not going quite that far, but that's the direction. Do you live in Chicago?" The man said, "Yeah, I have a business there. My name's Hanover." After talking about many things, Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion to share Christ with this 50-ish, apparently successful businessman. But he kept putting it off. I mean, he's the guest. It's his car. So he kept putting it off till he realized he was about 30 minutes from getting out of the car, and God's Spirit was just prompting him. "It's now or never. It's now or never." So Roger cleared his throat and he said, "Mr. Hanover, can I talk to you about something very, very important?" And the man said, "Sure." He then proceeded to explain to this driver the way of salvation, ultimately asking Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. The car pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought he was going to get thrown out on his ear. But the businessman bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he thanked Roger. He said, "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me." 5 years later, Roger was married. He had a 2-year-old boy and a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he searched through his files and found this small white business card that Mr. Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises. A receptionist told him that he could not see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover that day. He was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. "You know my husband?" Roger told her how her husband had given him a ride when hitchhiking home after the war. "Can you tell me when that was?" Mrs. Hanover said. "It was May 7th. I'll never forget the day," he said. Five years ago, May 7th. "It was when I was discharged from the Army." "Was anything special about that day?" Mrs. Hanover asked. Roger hesitated. Well, actually, yeah. He bit the bullet and he decided to tell Mrs. Hanover exactly what happened. He says, "Your husband and I had a great talk, and then right near the end of our trip, I decided to tell him the most important thing in life, and I talked to him about Jesus Christ. I told him about how he had changed my life and about how he could also know Christ as his Savior." Your husband pulled over to the side of the road and wept like a baby as he hung onto the steering wheel and gave his life to Jesus Christ. At that moment, Mrs. Hanover burst into tears. She could hardly control herself. Through her sobs, she said, "I had prayed for my husband year after year after year. I had believed that God would save him." And then Roger asked, "Where's your husband? Can we talk to him?" Mrs. Hanover said, "No, you can't. He's dead." And then through her tear-filled words, she said, "He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car. He never got home." And you see, I thought God had not kept his promise. And then with a heavy weep and a heavy sob, she said, "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he hadn't kept his word." Dear friends, never doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. You may not see God at work. You may not feel God at work. You may feel like he's a million miles away, but he has been, is now, and always will be Jehovah Shammah. He's the God who's there. And when you pray for someone or something, it may be on the other end of the earth, beyond your ability to control and manipulate and influence, but God is there. God is there. Pray like he is. Believe like he is. Fact number three, God was completely present in the person of Jesus Christ. John tells us in 1:14, the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. This word means tabernacled, or He pitched His tent among us. And those who saw Him, as we saw last week, called Him Emmanuel. Why? Because no man could do what this man did. They realized God was with us. In John 14:9, Jesus says to Philip, "He who has seen Me has seen the Father." Take a good look, Philip. Take a good look. Jesus said, in essence, "I am Jehovah Shammah. I am the God who is here." Those who enjoyed His presence saw the lame walk, the blind see, the dead raised, sinners forgiven, nature controlled, powers of hell subdued. They saw it. They experienced it. And to know the experienced presence of God is to experience the kingdom of God. To know and experience the presence of Jesus Christ in your life is to know and experience the kingdom of God. Fact number five, God will someday set up His kingdom on the earth. The Bible says that from the holy city He will rule in righteousness and truth, and everyone will be blessed. Listen to these words from Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Later in verse 22 we read, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it." Dear friends, ultimate fulfillment is found in Jehovah Shammah. When God's presence is experienced, there is the bounty of His kingdom. The Bible says our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, it hasn't even entered into our hearts, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And it will happen by being in His presence, by experiencing His presence. Are you with me so far? If this is true, then what about us? What does that have to do with us today, where you live and where I live? Fact number five, God delights to dwell in the temple of our hearts. He delights to dwell in the temple of our hearts. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Do you know this? Good morning. Do you know this? Not just as theological truth, do you know it today? You are His temple. He fashioned you to live in you. That's what you were designed for. And Jehovah Shammah, by His Holy Spirit, comes to dwell within your very being. You are His temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." 2 Corinthians 6:16, "We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Where is this all-powerful, awesome, omnipresent Jehovah Shammah? Where is He? Where is this God who has appeared to His people throughout the ages and blessed them with the benefits of His kingdom? Where is this God who came in flesh and revealed the splendor, majesty, power of His kingdom? Where is this one who will someday set up His eternal kingdom and from that place and by His presence bless the whole world? Where is He? Frederick Faber says it beautifully. For God is never so far off as even to be near. He is within. Our spirit is the home He holds most dear. To think of Him as by our side is almost as untrue as to remove His shrine beyond those skies of starry blue. So all the while I thought myself homeless, forlorn, and weary. Missing my joy, I walked the earth myself, God's sanctuary. You are the temple of the living God. Do you hear it? Where is Jehovah Shammah? In all this wide world, you have to run here. Look, He's within you. He's within you. He is not you. He's not like the New Ages. I am God. God is... No. God is God. We are us. But God is in us by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This is a key truth that personally I have experienced setting me free over and over and over again throughout life. From loneliness, from feelings of abandonment, from thoughts that maybe God wasn't caring or God wasn't looking after the details of my life the way I thought He should. From all kinds of thoughts that would take me off track, this truth has kept bringing me back, and ushering me into abundant, victorious, fruitful living. I am the temple of the living God. God the Almighty lives within me. Nothing will separate me from His love. He will always be with me. The eternal Creator, all-powerful, completely sufficient, holy God has chosen me as His dwelling place. How awesome! And He's chosen you too. He's chosen you too. Our task is simply to keep the temple cleansed. To keep the garbage out of the way. As soon as He reveals something that's in the way, confess it. Get rid of it. So that His Spirit can have free flow within us. If we clog up the doorways and the windows and the vents with our personal sin and our hidden secrets and all the stuff that can jam up everything, if we keep those places clogged, then we wonder why there's no free flow. Clean the stuff out, dear friends. But when it's cleansed, when it's clean and the doors are open, God's Spirit is free to move in us and through us the way He wants. Remember, our experience of God's kingdom blessings is directly tied to our experiencing God's presence in our temple. Let me say it again. Our experience of God's kingdom blessings are directly tied to our experiencing God's presence in our temple. And so I ask you this morning, are the doors of your temple open wide to God? Or are they secretly shut? Padlocks, hoping nobody will go there. Are the windows wide open to receive His grace? To each of you who are open to God, I declare with joy this morning, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Genesis 28 tells the story of Jacob, that dream he had of the ladder to heaven on which the angels were ascending and descending, in which he hears God reaffirm his call for Jacob and for his descendants and his desire to use him and to bless him. And the same can be said of every one of us today. God has called you to Himself. He has a purpose for you. He wants to use you to bless other people, indeed bless the nations. You and I are the same as Jacob. He may have seen the dream. You and I have the dream. It's for us as well. And when Jacob woke up from that dream, do you remember his words? Remember his words? He said, "Surely the Lord was in this place and I was not aware of it." This morning, under a tent in Egypt, those same words are true. Surely the Lord is in this place. Are you aware of it? Are you aware of it? Those who experience the presence of the living God are those who enjoy the bounty of His kingdom. Father God, we thank You that Your nature never changes. You always will be the God who is there. Father, our hearts long to know You. Our hearts long to experience You. And I pray for each one who is hearing these words this morning, that Your Spirit will take the words and go beyond them and minister as only You can. Father, for those who are here this morning who have blockages in their life, unconfessed sin, unresolved issues, things You have spoken to us about in the past that we either willingly or unwillingly have not dealt with. Lord, this morning we want to bring those before You. We want to ask that by Your Spirit You would come and cleanse our temples. Lord, we are willingly confessing the garbage that we've allowed to build up in the corners, that we've swept under the rug, that we've locked behind doors, hoping nobody would ever know or find out. Your Word says, Lord, if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, You will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that each of us will come to You this morning and allow Your cleansing blood to wash us again, through and through. Cleanse these temples, O God, for Yourself. And then, Lord, we pray, having got rid of the junk by confessing, having been cleansed by the power of Your blood, we pray, O Spirit of the living God, will You come and fill afresh? Will You fill these temples again?